America's aid program is mired in controversy. Only a few years ago, the US spent billions giving arms to the Mujahideen to fight the communist occupation of Afghanistan. Now it's spending billions more fighting old friends and new enemies in the same region. That's just one example. Tune into The Agenda to find out why US aid could be more of a liability than a gift. America has given Pakistan $18 billion since 2002, much of it spent on military aid. But now many are beginning to question its real value. Political leader Imran Khan said if he gets into power, he'd tell the US to keep its aid, as Pakistan should learn to stand on its own two feet. Some recipients of aid say America carries too many strings and conditions, promoting Western interests while encouraging corruption and destabilizing countries. Earthquake hit Haiti, rejected GM corn from US aid. Local farmers said the crops couldn't produce seeds for future plantings, and they feared becoming dependent on multinational corporations, like some of their counterparts in India and Africa. Jordan, Egypt, Iraq and Afghanistan, all strategically important to the US, are also dependent on billions of dollars of American aid, which goes mainly towards military assistance. Today's agenda asks the question, US aid, is it a poison chalice? Despite their own financial hardships, the US taxpayer continues to fork out billions in aid to war-torn countries and famine-hit regions. But is this a real act of charity, or is there a more sinister motive at play? Helping us peel back the layers for what promises to be another hot debate is American author and political commentator Carol Gould. She sees US aid as a force for good and sees nothing wrong in American companies benefiting from US aid deals. Meanwhile, from the Pan-African Society, Omar Wally Rupert is very suspicious of any gifts from Uncle Sam and sees US aid as another extension of imperialism. And someone else who believes that aid means dependency is Atif Ali Shah, who is a member of the Tehreek-Insaf party. Pakistan has been blighted by earthquakes, floods and other natural disasters in recent years. So, Atif, aren't you biting the hand that feeds you?
Well, in principle, the capital we are receiving in the form of foreign aid should have been fueling the growth of the country. It should have been used, in principle, for stabilizing the state institutions and should have been helping in developing human capital. But what happened in reality is another story. There's always a hook in the bait. And the hook is the political ideology of the country, the foreign policy of the donor countries, and the commercial interest of that country to a country they're giving their foreign aid towards. It should have been a development assistance rather than a foreign aid.
So where's the money gone? I mean, $18 billion since 2002.
Well, I give you statistics of November 2007, where Heritage Foundation has found out that at that time, we received almost $10 billion US dollars. And out of that, only 15% was used towards civil projects. Most of them were reimbursement in the form of coalition support fund that Pakistan has already spent. The reality is that the money that we are receiving is no different than we famously know that oil curse, where the one small elite class receive all the money in their bank account and it's up to them to whoever they want to disperse that money. So in reality, if we, let's say we receive Carrie Luger Bill's money that we are receiving, in reality, when you turn it into distributing all over the population, it gets around $1.72 per person, which we fail to create the right...
Let me move on to Carol. I mean, Carol, the US taxpayer must be quite staggered by this amount, $18 billion. It appears to have gone on to the military.
Yes, there's also a degree of corruption. I mean, in 2010, there were 13 corruption cases in Pakistan. And in the first half of 2011, there have already been 12. It graft, corruption, siphoning of money to the wrong places. But the American taxpayer also has its congressmen and senators sitting in Washington worried that they're not going to be reelected if money keeps being thrown at foreign aid, not just at Pakistan. The U.S. technically is near bankruptcy. And the lack of money, the indebtedness of the U.S. is staggering. As we know, Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is very worried about there being another meltdown. So it's not just the taxpayer that's worried. A few weeks ago, after the Bin Laden affair, I always refer to Pakistan as pre-Bin Laden, post-Bin Laden. The journalism you read before it is already saying, America, go away, which is quite interesting. Already before the Bin Laden
event, Imran Khan,
the Congress wanted to stop aid to Pakistan after that.
Because Imran Khan, who was recently voted in a Pew poll to be the most popular person likely to become the next Pakistan leader, he said, if I get into power, we don't want U.S. aid. How do you feel about that?
Well, if you go back just a year, Imran was saying to the Evening Standard that the U.S. created the Taliban in Pakistan. And even people who are conservative in America feel, well, perhaps he's right with these drone attacks, with the American kind of imposing itself.
Well, Hillary Clinton told a recent committee the very same thing.
Yeah.
And she said American aid created the Mujahideen who fought against the Russian occupation.
If you allow me, Obama said day before yesterday in the Twitter hut, where he was trying to convince his own public, that we are merely spending only less than 1% or 2% of our GDP. Like, even he knows this is a meager money, that American people have always exaggerated the amount of aid they think they are sending overseas.
Well, it might be meager to America, but $18 billion, if I bring in Omar Wally Rupert here, this is a sizable amount of money. Billions has already been spent in Haiti. Are the people in Haiti benefiting from U.S. aid?
There's no suggestion that I'm aware of, and I've spoken to people in Haiti as recently as yesterday. I get no indication that they are benefiting in any way from the aid of U.S. aid. I think we've got to be clear on what U.S. aid is. What we're actually talking about is an investment package, if you like, in the form of a loan, an ultra high interest loan. Now, we need to understand what's actually going on when we talk about investments. The idea of an investment is that if I'm the investor, I put some money, let's say, in. And the idea is that I must get out more than I put in. Otherwise, it's a failed investment. Now, when U.S. Satan and the other imperialist nations, give what they call aid, they're not actually assisting the people in that nation. What they're doing is they're assisting themselves to the resources of that nation. So the whole premise upon which aid is based is a premise that says it's to look after our selfish interests and it's not to benefit the people of that nation at all.
Well, I don't think America's getting rich off the back of Africans. Yet more misery, more droughts, more famines, especially in the Horn of Africa at the moment. We seem to be having this cyclical problem.
I'm sorry, that actually is not correct. I'm sorry. U.S. Satan is getting extremely rich off of the back of Africa, one of the reasons why they've introduced AFRICOM. But if we look at Africa is the richest continent in the world. I'm talking in terms of mineral resources. And it's by far the richest continent in the world. If you look at gold, if you look at diamonds, if you look at coltan, if you look at all of those valuable resources, you find them in abundance in Africa, and sometimes in Africa more than you find anywhere else in the world.
Well, let me revisit this, but in the meantime, if we go over to Mohammed Walji, he went off to the US Embassy to ask the public there what they thought, and this is what they told him.
I'm here in central London today outside the newly erected Reagan statue to ask members of the public what they think about American aid and whether it's a force for good or a hindrance. So let's hear what they had to say.
Do you think US aid is a force for good or a device to control people and their politicians?
I think it's a force for good. You have to look at things in the perspective of history and not in the immediacy of today.
I think it's a device for, controlling people and the politician, basically, really.
you know, what worries me more is not the political attitude from the United States, which clearly stated it has as a first goal defend American interests abroad.
Do you think that U.S. aid has undermined their strategic relationship with Pakistan, for example?
Depends which aid you're talking about. What aid to where?
For example, aid to their defense industry, aid to the poverty-stricken areas of Pakistan, for example.
No, I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't live in that area. I've never been to Pakistan. I have relatively few ties with the Muslim world. You know, I come from a different place. But as far as I understand it, that's not an aid. That's intervention.
And do you think U.S. aid has helped or hindered Africa, bearing in mind that the Horn of Africa is now in the grip of another famine?
Well, clearly the West's efforts in Africa have not been a success. You can't blame, I don't think, American aid one way or the other. The wealthy part of the world has to do more to eradicate poverty.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, I think Africa needs a lot of help at the moment, I think, with the famine and, you know, the children all suffering, you know. I think maybe there is a little bit of help there, I think. Yeah.
Carol, it's quite obvious from some of the responses there that America does have a problem, an image problem, and you've got Omar Wally Rupert referring to the USA as the U.S. Satan. You know, why has America got such a troubled image?
Well, as you know, when I've been on your program before, I always like to go back in history. And whatever the U.S. does, they always seem to upset somebody else. If you look at World War II, the U.S. did not help Britain during the terrible years when Britain stood alone against the Nazis. And Roosevelt had an isolationist Congress that did not want to do anything to help anybody. They wanted to stay out of world affairs and act as if nothing was happening in Europe. And when I first came to this country in 1976, people then said to me, "We'll never forgive Roosevelt and the Congress for not coming in sooner, because so many fewer British boys would have died and there might not have been a Holocaust if America had come in 39-40.
If that's possible, please. I think it's important to go back in history if I'm permitted to do so. And I'd go back in history and I'd remind us of how U.S. Satan came into being. U.S. Satan came into being as a result of people leaving this country here, Britain, mainly criminals, going over to U.S. Satan and wiping out an entire population of people. That's how U.S. Satan came into being. Having wiped out the entire American Indian population, those that are left are drunk in reserves, as they call them, then they transported Africans from Africa into the Americas. Two massive acts of genocide.
Well, so did Britain.
Britain.
Britain's had a hand in a lot of
Britain,
ugly things.
U.S. Satan, they are evil, imperialist.
The Obama is absolutely clear about what aid is all about. He said yesterday that it's about American influence. If they want to sustain themselves as a superpower, he quoted the need to get these aids keep going to these countries. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was trying to convince his own audience, his potential voters for 2012.
So do you think the aid should be distributed in a different way?
Well, there are some positive out of aids, American aid as well. In South Korea is an example. Vietnam is an example. Thailand is another example. Malaysia could be a good example. But the issue is that what happened in East Africa, for example, in Kenya, they have, in last 10 years, they have received four times aid in terms of to help them in agriculture. And Uganda, half of the GDP is relied on foreign aid. When you look at the Ethiopia, they are absolutely Marxist. They are like inside, they got a completely different ideology been working, but since it has been partner for so-called war on terror, biggest partner in Africa, so they are getting billions and billions of dollars. But the issue is there's unaccountability towards there. It's just like an oil curse where only what some people get there all the money and they decide who get the money, and the real effect to the grassroots level never reaches. The biggest example is Pakistan.
Let me bring Carol in on this. Do you think it would be better if there were less strings attached to USAID, or if it was distributed in a different way?
Well, on that theme, I'd like to go back to the point at the beginning of the program where you mentioned that Hillary Clinton, even Hillary, had mentioned this business of the Taliban rising up in Pakistan. And I said in my note to Mohammed this morning when I was preparing for the program, one of the things that strikes me is that actually we're lucky we have a liberal, quote, left-wing president, and believe me, he is, and Joe Biden, the vice president, even more so, because if we had Bush, Rumsfeld, and Cheney in, or Sarah Palin and John McCain, it is possible that all aid to Pakistan would have ended a few weeks ago after the killing of bin Laden, because the feeling amongst conservatives and even some Democrats in America is he was hidden. Nobody told us he was there. We're giving tons of money to these countries, and they're harboring terrorists, quote, harboring terrorists. That's the biggest complaint.
But the money has been spent on military, again, in Jordan, Egypt, Iraq, and Afghanistan. It's all on security. It's not on education. It's not on food. The food that was offered to Haiti that was rejected were GM crops that would have made the farmers become reliant on US corporations.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, Yvonne, those countries have to agree to doing that. They're not just going to say, we're going to do it because America tells us to. They perhaps feel that they need this.
And in
they
Pakistan's case, it's not the matter of need. The biggest example is American food program. Africa is the biggest victim of this whole program, where they are willing to send tons and tons of wheat, but they're not going to help them build the capacity to grow more wheat and more food in their countries. So per calories, these countries are getting less and less food. But on the other side, they're giving US aid, which has been very good promoted all around the world. Coming back to Pakistan, Pakistan got $174 billion GDP. Compared to Pakistan, it's sixth largest country in terms of population. It got like 30th largest country when it comes to its world economies. Its GDP should have been three times what it's been now. So instead that, America aid is helping to sustain Zardari's government, the most corrupt person on earth, just to make sure that he remains in power. American keep on giving them aid, and the biggest black hole is Benazir income support program, where the money is given to direct for consumption to the lowest level.
As we hold on to that thought for the time being, we need to move on now to the Agenda's electronic post room, where Mohammed Walji selects the best Facebook responses to today's topic.
Thanks, Yvonne. While there were some very uncharitable responses on today's discussion over the merits of US aid, Abdullah Al-Andalusi from Kandahar in Afghanistan reckons it's a ploy to dominate Muslims of the world and all underprivileged people. This is all part of imperialism. The IMF is also a part of it. While Jassy Friend from Doha in Qatar wants to know why the US are killing people and they are giving charity. Meanwhile in Tunisia, Minuj Katu says, it's well known that US aid is a means for raising US political interest all over the world. They don't give this aid to countries out of their influence, for example, Cuba. He goes on, and we can understand this, but what should become true is that governments in poor countries, democratic ones, cooperate economically with the US without becoming slaves and making their own and free political and foreign affairs decisions. But peaceful Afghan prince from the country's Nangarhar province is troubled by US aid in neighbouring Pakistan, adding, Pakistan is also doing a double game. Tunisian Mohammed Aziz Bez expressed concern about the recent high-profile visit of Senator John McCain, fearing a new method of colonialism, adding that his country wasn't interested in overseas dollars. We need the money stolen by Ben Ali and co. American David Kirsten from the Midwest joined in to say, you can't talk about US aid without talking about Israel. One third of all US aid goes to Israel, a modern, technologically advanced first world country, and Egypt, which until the recent removal of Mubarak, ensured that Gaza and its people were locked in and that Egypt remained in the service of both the US and Israel. Londoner Asimir writes, developing countries need trade, not aid.
They need debt cancellation and stable governments. That would be far more productive than US aid. And finally, French aid worker Trezor Archer simply asks, who wants aid from people who bomb people? Well, that's all we've got time for. Back to you, Yvonne.
Well, in the last few minutes, let's get our guests' concluding remarks. If I bring you in, Omar Wally, you know, you're from the Pan-African movement. You've also got heavy interests in Haiti. What would you say to America about the US aid?
What I'd say to Obama and his cohorts in US Satan is your nation is the worst imperialist nation ever experienced in the history of humanity. What we need is a revolution to take away the power of the state, those that control the state, in US Satan. A nation built on genocide cannot possibly ever genuinely give assistance. If we look at US Satan's track record, they have invaded more nations than any other nation in the world. They have destabilized and caused coups than any other nation in the world. So when they talk about aid, they are not talking genuinely about helping the people in the regions that they refer to.
Well, if I bring Carolyn at this point, you know, how would you conclude today's show and obviously respond to some of the remarks made?
Well, none of us would be here today if it hadn't been for Britain and the US defending the world against the Nazis, because the next people that Hitler was going to come after were people of color, Muslims, Jews, anybody who wasn't blonde and blue-eyed and Christian. So we have to be thankful, at least to the United States, which I don't regard as a Satan, despite all its faults. We have to be thankful to the US and Britain for saving the world from the greatest Satan of all, Adolf Hitler.
Well, on that note, Atif?
Well, Yvonne, under the leadership of our chairman, Imran Khan, it's our mission to break these shackles of foreign aid from Pakistan. Or maybe, inshallah, we will be the first country in at least in South Asia who can stand in his own 2 feet and develop his own country based on his own money.
But people in Pakistan would think, without US aid, how are we going to cope? You know, they've had war, famine, floods, earthquakes.
Well, you must have experienced your own self during these all calamities. Pakistan nation has just stood up. They have ability to surprise everyone. They just need a clear leadership who can really sincerely work for their interest, not the foreign aid country's interest. We have seen Zardari and his government, they're not paying a single penny towards taxes of this country, and they're reaping every reward out of this country. This is the kind of a leadership who's based on these foreign aid. We need to kick them out. And Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf hopefully going to do this mission.
Well, a little bit of electioneering there at the end, but a very interesting debate on US aid, a force for good or a cause for evil. That just remains for me to say a very big thank you to each and every one of our guests today, and we'll see you all soon on the next agenda. We'll be right back.